Yes.
Okay, I'd like to call the County of Sullivan IDA to order. Roll call, please.
Mr. Steingart?
Here.
Mr. Steingart's present. Ms. Laughlin?
Here.
Ms. Laughlin's present. Mr. Siegel?
Here.
Mr. Siegel's present. Mr. Gunther?
Here.
Mr. Gunther's present. Ms. Roig?
Here.
Ms. Roig is present. Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Smith is present, and Mr. Sykes is absent.
Okay, so first thing is approval of minutes from February 8th and the reconvene February 25th. A motion?
I'll make it.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any against? And next, bills and communication. Actually, Walter, are you on?
I am.
Before we go to bills, could we do, we had one more item under minutes. It's just a requested revision of some old minutes. Do you see that in your agenda packets?
Yeah, I do.
The September 14th, 2020 meeting minutes reflected Mr. Sykes as absent, which he was at roll call, but he arrived a few minutes later. And we just wanted to correct the minutes to note that he arrived at 11:04.
I'll make a motion for that correction.
I'll second it.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Any against? Okay, now for the bills. Walter, I think, and this has never happened, I probably should recuse myself from one of those invoices. Or am I incorrect?
I have no idea. Which one?
It's the one for $27,000.
Yes. We should put that on a separate voucher. So, go ahead.
We had discussed that Mr. Steingart, if we have a quorum without him, could just not vote on this schedule of payments.
We don't. So let's separate it. Do we?
Yes.
We have a quorum, or we do not have a quorum?
We do. Carol, Susie, Howard.
Okay, so then Ira can recuse himself from the entire vote on payments as opposed to splitting it.
Okay, so I'm recusing myself.
I'll make a motion to accept the schedule of payments as noted.
And Susie, you'll handle this while Ira's not part of the meeting, please.
The motion?
Well,
okay, so
I made it and Paul seconded it, Susie. So the way.
Okay. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Okay. okay. Any questions from staff with their report? Then we'll go into new business with the first resolution authorizing the first quarter payment to the Partnership for Economic Development, Sullivan County. We have a motion.
I'll move it, Susie.
Second it, Paul.
Okay. I just want to disclose I do work for them through a third party, through an agency, nothing direct. So that I think just disclosure is appropriate. So I feel there's no reason why I can't vote. I call the question in. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any against? Okay, next resolution is authorizing amendment for Adelar Developer LLC payment in lieu of taxation agreement to authorize acceptance and guarantee for EPR properties as financial security with 2022 pilot payment. A motion?
There's nothing different, right? We do that every year.
We've only done it once, and we did it last year. And at the time, they showed around 500 and some million of cash and cash equivalent on their balance sheet.
They got about 800, right?
They got closer to 900 now. Yeah. So they're in a
liquid. Well, we discussed this a couple of meetings ago.
We did. But I didn't have a resolution because I wanted your guidance on whether or not it would be acceptable because otherwise their bond would have been due by the end of February.
But considering their extra cash position is up $400 million, I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Here I want to also disclose I do work for the water park, but indirectly through their management company. So disclosure is appropriate and I can vote. So I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any against?
Just out of curiosity, is the casino partially open and the water park's obviously not open, right?
That's in both cases, your statement is correct.
Any word on when the water park might reopen?
There's two parts to you need a two-part analysis to answer that question. The first part is when the governor, if he still has executive order power, will modify his executive order, which is why he's still a governor, but he may not have executive order power from what I'm gathering from that some recent newspaper articles. The concept had been to reopen the water park at a percentage of full capacity. Oh, Dave, you joined us.
That's Steve.
I see that.
But then Dave isn't connected.
No, Dave is still there, Walter.
Oh, I see. Okay. They probably would not reopen at a percentage of capacity because the way the water park works with the Department of Health is they need a minimum number of lifeguards, whether there's one person or 100 people in the water park. And it's something in the nature of like 30 or 31 staff, no matter how many people are in the water park.
I got
so you. So there's first the question of what the governor or the state legislature will do. And second, there's the question of when that happens, does it make sense for them to reopen or would it be worse for them to reopen financially? And they've run all those numbers. I just don't know what the result of that analysis is.
The reason I ask is we drove by it again late last week. The Lego thing looks like it's ready to open, and that's more bringing more tourists to the area. And I just what impact that would have on the water park, because I would think it's the same constituencies.
I would agree with you, but I think that Legoland would be more scalable in terms of the number of employees versus the number of guests than a water park, because you can't have parts of the water park features that are unprotected by lifeguards.
Right. I got you. Thank you.
Isn't Legoland as well as a large segment of outdoor exposure?
Yeah, a lot of it's outdoors.
Right. Just as a matter of course, I know somebody that went to the casino last weekend with the intention of going in, and it was so packed that they changed their mind. Not myself,
really?
But that it was packed.
How do you like that? That's interesting.
My sister and brother-in-law go on a weekly basis, and they've been times there that it's, very, very busy. Obviously, weather has an impact on it, decent weather, that it's crazy there. So it's nice to see. Okay. Then we'll go on to the next issue. We voted on that, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So the next resolution is approving an increase in authorized sales and use abatement relating to the Mitra Development LLC, Eldred Entertainment LLC, and Eldred Hospitality LLC. A motion?
So moved.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
With Howard and Carol second. Any discussion? Except they're spending a lot more money there, that's for sure.
Yeah, what is the status? Does anyone know?
I was there on Saturday, and I would have to use the phrase substantially complete.
Wow.
Scott, you drive by it all the time. Carol, you drive by it all the time. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah. Yep.
When do they project to open?
April is what they were saying, but I don't know.
Really?
True.
The original projected opening date was by the end of 2019. Mm-hmm. I predict they won't make that.
That's why we hired you as a good lawyer, Walter.
Yeah. I was there about a month ago, and the decorating crew were in there. The place is absolutely gorgeous inside. So I think they should be ready to open. All the equipment is in the kitchen, and it really is pretty substantially done, like Walter said.
Well, they're a little over budget if they were going to shoot for $20 million, but...
Yeah, Susie pointed out, I think, last time, if they had come in and asked us for a huge amount of additional money, we would have said, happy to have you spend it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So we have
okay, a question. Okay, so I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any against? Okay, it passes. Next one is mortgage financing relating to Montrain Operating Company, LLC, Empire Resorts Estate 1, LLC, and Empire Resorts Real Estate 2, LLC projects.
Do you mind putting this at the end because we have to do it in executive session? The information includes private financial information of a particular person or entity, the particular person or entity being Empire Resorts, Inc.
Okay, so no problem. So next is discussion for the industrial park uniform tax exemption policy.
I just wanted to let the board know after the February meeting, I sent out the notices to all the affected taxing jurisdictions. We have received one comment, which was in your agenda packet, and that's from the superintendent of the Liberty Central School District. Walter and I have discussed that it's not critical that the board vote on this policy today with respect to the landfill expansion parcel, which will proceed, future development of that parcel will proceed under this proposed policy. That is not time sensitive. I just wanted to bring to your attention that we did receive one comment. That's the only comment I've received. On the policy at this point.
And Steve is on. He's representing the buyer of the phase two landfill policy. And he's aware that we'll be working on an option agreement over this week and next week, probably. And once that's signed, there's a PAAA notice with a 90-day minimum notice time frame. So if we got something done by the end of March, there wouldn't be a closing till the end of June. That's why it's not time sensitive. I read the letter, Jen, and I don't know what the board's view is. I'd like to hear their opinion. It's clear that the person writing this comment letter did not understand that what is being proposed is a policy where there would be no net loss of revenue, but only a reduction in incremental revenue. Is it worth having a conversation with the superintendent of Liberty Schools, or is that something that the board doesn't want Jen to engage in?
Well, I think it's important to do that. I think anything you can do to improve the communication flow, because also, like I was concerned reading about they raised the issue of having insufficient notice. And
yeah, that's something that,
I think it's worth a phone call. I think it's important to establish rapport with the superintendent. They're a big stakeholder when it comes to all these projects that are, you know, impacting their school district. So I think that anything we can do to improve that is worthwhile.
I agree with Susie. That's a simple thing to do.
Yeah, and I mean,
it makes us think, you know, makes us pay attention to people's concerns. That's all.
Right. Yeah.
And if you were to decide that a particular school district would be off limits to commercial expansion, if somebody was going to build something in the county, they would just build it in a different school district.
Yeah.
So it's a big negative for there to be an odd man out on a program.
Yeah, I think you'd want everybody. I think especially when their view might be based on misinformation. So, I mean, anything we can do to arm them with the facts and then try to help bring them in and help them be part of the process would, I think, be positive.
Okay.
I'll contact the superintendent. In my initial notice letters to the taxing jurisdiction, I indicated that we would accept comments through late last week and then also at this meeting, because at that time we thought we would potentially be acting on adopting the policy at this meeting. I can send out, would the board like me to send out any notice extending the comment period, or how would you like me to handle that? I'm happy to do that.
I wouldn't do that when you only have one of the, you know, you sent out a dozen plus notices. You have one person saying they need more time. Right. If you had everybody saying they need more time, that would be different. But, okay. And I mean, I had calls from the town of Rockland after this went out. And they're in the process of amending their zoning. And one of the things they plan on doing with their zoning law is to eliminate their industrial commercial zoning district altogether. So the town of Rockland, Roscoe School District, and Livingston Manor School District would no longer be relevant to this process because Rockland is going to get rid of their commercial industrial zoning district.
Does that make sense?
Yes, because almost all of it after the 2012 FEMA maps is all now in a floodplain anyway.
Okay.
It was the old Livingston Manor Airport, which is now not capable of being developed because it's in the described floodplain once the FEMA maps were updated after the disasters in Livingston Manor and Roscoe.
They're looking to use that property as overflow when it does, that they're going to design a system that's where the floodwaters would go.
Correct. Therefore, it wouldn't probably be a good idea to have a warehouse there.
No, unless you're making canoes.
Yep.
Okay. So the last item is the self-evaluation. We're going into executive session anyhow, so if we want to discuss it, we can. So I guess we're ready to have a motion to go into executive session. For Walter, I'll let you give the reason.
For two purposes. One, to review to the extent anybody wishes to the self-evaluations, which is an executive session process. And second, to discuss the refinancing that's proposed to take place at, let's call it Resort World instead of the proper names just for simplicity, which will involve the disclosure of financial information relating to a particular entity being Empire Resorts, Inc.
Okay, so a motion to go into executive session.
Would you like to hold a public comment period before the executive session?
We can, sure. Public comment?
You're on mute, Ken.
Are you going to have action afterwards?
Most likely not. I would say that we're probably going to have another meeting. Is that correct?
I will be asking the board to recess this meeting to later this week because there are still some components of the refinancing package that need to be fully developed. Most of it is developed, not all of it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when I say what I have. Jen, did you send out that email I sent you?
Yes.
Okay. It has to do with 234 Main Street. I did a breakdown, and I made some corrections because I had some wrong numbers. I think tax exemptions, first of all, any exemption after a project has started should be off the discussion table. If they could not plan ahead or anybody could not plan ahead of time, that's not our problem. It's theirs. There's no cost-benefit analysis to ride along with it. But the fact that the exemptions for both sales tax and mortgage tax, and I did over 20 years, 25 years, and 30 years, so how much it would be a part of that, part of the financial picture, going from almost 52, 58, $59 in total in a monthly payment for rental unit down to $38, $39 per rental unit per month. I don't feel it's is warranted. I don't believe that the town should be shortchanged on their portion of the mortgage tax, nor the county, nor the state. And I don't believe that the county, the state, and the county should be shortchanged on their sales tax. All this affects you and I as taxpayers. All we do is shift the burden and let the people who have to put these projects together know all their costs and make the decision if it's viable or not. And if it's not viable, where they have to make additional changes to make it viable. It's not our responsibility to give the taxpayers, it's not our responsibility to give the investors a break when the taxpayers are the ones picking up the bill. We are always struggling to try to pay our bills around here. And the other thing you got to keep in mind, I think you really have to keep this in mind. I know when on a pilot is not so much, but it's something that you need to keep in mind or have in your memory. When you have properties that are wholly exempt, they don't pay any fire tax either. And that is really a big, that's the biggest burden to any town taxpayer, their fire tax bill. It's a good portion of their local bill. So when you have these situations where people don't pay their taxes for whatever method, it always comes back to you and I. So I think this 234 Main Street should be just totally taken off the table and forgotten about. It's a bad idea. Thank you.
Okay, a motion to go into executive session. Any other public comment, I guess? Okay, a motion to go into executive.